of you enjoy going to family reunions? Like going to family reunions? Yeah, some of us out there love going to family reunions. Some of them don't have too many family reunions, but I like going to family reunions. Have any of you been to one recently? I know with all the COVID things, I know that we haven't had one together, but family reunions, like the picture I have up here of a family that I don't know. That's not my family. I couldn't find a picture of my family reunion. But family reunions are a time when extended members of the family or who are related to each other gather together to share fond memories, participate in various activities, and most of the time to eat a meal together. Okay? Whether it be a pop-up or server or whatever, but they come together to meet each other. And I like to go to reunions like this to get to know cousins that I haven't seen in a while, or great aunts, uncles that don't live around in my area. In fact, we had a mini family reunion yesterday. Some of my cousins came, a couple of cousins came yesterday, and we kind of had a little get-together where we had some rice and curry. It's a wonderful dish. I won't go into explanation, but it's been a long time since I've been to a big family reunion for the Clausen family. We do have it very often for our family. I haven't really been to it once for 18 years since I moved from Kansas. Kansas is where the old homestead is, out there, and that's where a lot of my dad's relatives used to grow up and live, where my great-great-grandparents used to live. And there is a reunion on my mother's side of the family that I sometimes go to. I haven't been to that since 18 years or so as well, but they happen every year or so. But my wife's family, they love family reunions. Boy, they have one every year for both my father's side, my father-in-law's side, and my mother-in-law's side. And they're out there so they can't hear me, so I won't talk about our family. But they have a family reunion where at Christmas time, the northern side of the father's side of her family has a little get together. Unfortunately, that's starting to decline a little bit because a lot of our brothers and sisters are dying and getting older. The wife's side of the family as well. I had a reunion that's out in Iowa. That's where her mother came from. And so we've done that for several years. It's kind of good to get to know that side of the family too. But family reunions are on the decline, like I said. With all the grandkids and grandkids scattered out all over the place and the older folk dying off, that kind of been the backbone. People don't travel back to the old homestead every year to get together with each other. Fortunately, we have the internet now, so we can do a little more family reunion type of things online, but that's not the same as being with everyone, gathering together, and sharing us old stories that we remember as kids. But as I think about family reunions, I think about the church. Because the same thing is true about the church, too. More and more churches are going online, and less are gathering together because, again, we don't like going back to the old homestead or interact with each other. We'd rather just sit on our couch and watch TV and maybe the service online. And with the idea of COVID this last year, also led a little decline in the church's attendance as well because people just are scared of coming in person. So that's why I'm glad that our church is still ones that still are being cautious. We probably can. I know some of you got vaccinated and whatnot, and not wear masks and whatnot, but I appreciate that our church is one that still kind of has that mask and kind of protect and kind of respect people's distances and things like that. But it also has me thinking about one of the other commands that we've been looking at these last several weeks. Because the Christian life and the Christian experience are designed by God to be in fellowship with each other, right? We're not made by God to live our separate lives and distant lives. That might be why self-quarantine is so difficult for many of us. And the Bible uses several metaphors for how the body of Christ should gather together. And this gathering is supposed to look like several metaphors, like the family of God and the body of Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ, it says many times. And we've been singing over the last several weeks songs like "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds" and "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God" and "Bind Us Together, Lord." And all these songs we've been singing about as well. These talk about the need for fellowship and interaction with each other. And so as I started this series, the one other series, we started last several weeks ago with "Do Not Lie" or "Two" or "Don't Deceive One Another." We looked at "Be at Peace with One Another." And then last week we looked at "Do Not Grumble with One Another." And these three, we've looked at so far, these are commands and requirements that we need in order to have this kind of fellowship that we're talking about. They build on top of each other. You know, if you lie, then you're not going to have peace, and if you have peace, then you grumble. And so they kind of build upon each other so far. Because without truth and peace and humility, our interactions would be self-serving and even destructive at times. And notice also on these, they're both negative and positive. It says, do not do this, and do this. Do this, do not do this. And we're going to look at another positive command this morning, in fact, two of them this morning. They're both in the same verse in the Bible, in Romans chapter 12, verses 10. And they're interconnected with, not only with each other, but we'll see, they're kind of interconnected with these as well, because these, even though they're separate, are on top of each other and build upon each other. But these next two commands kind of almost encompass these first three and kind of sums these all up here. And so we're going to look this morning at two commands from Romans chapter 12. Be devoted to one another and to honor one another. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12 and see what it says there, to be devoted or honor to one another. Romans 12, 10 says this. So he has these two commands. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, the first thing you'll notice about this verse is something that you won't notice in the English version. I'm sorry, this doesn't come out in the English version because we want to do things grammatically correct. And Greek grammar and English grammar are two different things. They're different. In English, we usually write sentences with a noun and a verb and then maybe a prepositional sentence or something like that. Right? John ate the banana, or ate the banana, or John, John went to the store. Okay, we have a noun, John went, verb, to the store, prepositional phrase. You don't say, to the store, John went, or to the store went John, or mix them up like that. But in the Greek translations, they do that. They can mix things up, and they know that this is a prepositional sentence, this is the subject, this is the verb, and they can mix things up. And if you look at the Greek version of this, the prepositional phrase goes at the beginning of the phrase. And so this prepositional phrase, in brotherly love, in our English verse, is actually the first words of this verse in Greek. And many times the Greek writers do this because they want to emphasize these words. Because to mix things up makes people think, wait a second, why is he putting the preposition first? Why is he putting that first? Instead of just doing it kind of the normal way. And they do this for emphasis, to put more emphasis, to say, hey, wait a second, I'm going to need to pay attention to this. And so this is what's happening in this verse. If you put in the word order in Greek, it says, in brotherly love, to one another, be devoted. Now, in English, that's kind of mixed up, right? But that's the way it says it actually in the Greek. To be in brotherly love, to one another, be devoted. And so, Paul, who's writing here in Romans, I think really wanted to emphasize in brotherly love. Now, the word brotherly love is a word that you all know, but you don't know it. It's the word Philadelphia. Now, you know the city of Philadelphia, right? What's the nickname of the city of Philadelphia? The city of?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. So, you know what brotherly love is. It's Philadelphia. Okay? That's the word there in Greek. It's a combination of actually two Greek words, philo, or phileo, meaning love, and delphia, meaning brothers. Okay? Love of brothers. It's very simple. So, Paul's starting out the sentence saying, with love for your brothers, for your fellow believers, for your fellow even countrymen, I think, here, you need to love them. This is the same word Philadelphia is used that we saw a couple weeks ago when we talked about living in harmony with one another, brothers. You know, I love us brothers. That's what it says in 1 Peter 3:8. And it's interesting that this love is love about between peoples that are not really related. They're companions, they're your co-workers, the people that you are around, but they're not related to you. Okay? It's that kind of friendship love. And this is what right at the beginning of the sentence to emphasize this kind of relationship. But if you continue on in the Greek, that word be devoted actually has the same word in it, phileo. It starts off with the same word, phileo. Okay, so he's saying, in brotherly love to one another, love. Love, phileo. This is the word phileo. But it's combined with another word, stoge, which also means love. So it's a loving love of love type of companions there. But stoge actually is a kind of a different kind of aspect of love. It's not the friendship kind of love of phileo. It's the ones of cherishing someone as if they're kindred. Like a parent who cherishes their child. It's the familiar love between family members. Someone who you're devoted to, hence the translation, be devoted. So there's two forms of love in this passage. There's this friendship kind of love, and then there's this family member kind of love. And Paul's saying here, make that kind of love that you have for unrelated people that are not your family members, treat that as if they are your family members. Treat those around you in your church and your neighborhood as dearly loved members of your own family. It's like a whole big family reunion. It's a whole great big family reunion. That's what he's saying here. And these words are used only, brotherly love, Philadelphia, and be devoted, are only used in these passages of scriptures. They're unique to this passage of scripture, so they're kind of, how do we translate it? This kind of brotherly devotion, love type of thing. So there are many translations out there that have translated this verse in various ways, and I'm just going to give you a sampling of several of them. The King James Version says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. The American Standard Version, in the love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate to one another. Godspeed's translation says, be affectionate in your love for the brotherhood. The Knox Version says, be affectionate toward each other as the love of brother demands. Beck's translation says, love one another tenderly as fellow Christians. Again, all this idea of affection and tenderness. And then finally, in a New Living Translation says, love each other with genuine affection. And so the idea behind this passage is to, again, treat those who are not part of your family as if they're family. Now, we're all family here. We're part of the family of God. And since these are, like I said, we can probably stop right there. That's a good message. So, hey, we need to start treating others around us in the church and in our neighborhood as if they're family members. We can apply it to our lives more easily. Do we love each other with this kind of affection, this kind of compassion, this kind of love? How can we show even more love to those around us sitting in this room? Not to mention what it means to those who would see that kind of love, right? If they would see the brothers and sisters of the church love each other, what would the result? Well, Jesus himself says, by this all men will know that they are my disciples, if they, what? Love each other, So if the world would see that we love each other, men will know that we are his disciples. What a difference it would make in this world if people in our church and other churches would do this, would love each other with brotherly love. It would make a world of difference, I think. But it's very easy to quote one verse, or actually one part of a verse, and make it into a whole sermon, right? It's very easy to say, this verse, and this is what it means, but if you look at the context, it might mean something else, right? So let's look at the context of this Romans chapter 10 passage. And the paragraph, the immediate paragraph, that's here. Let's read the entire paragraph from Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. It says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And then we have our scripture passage. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And after it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Now, first off, first word, love, okay? That word actually is a different love than the phileo and the stoge love. This is agape love. This is the God love. That's very evident in the Bible many times about God's love toward us. But this kind of overall love must be sincere, it says, must be genuine, must be authentic, must be true, okay? It also makes love, and it also makes the love in our verse stand out, you know, because we're going to love each other in brotherly love. So I think that, again, the context of this verse is in the love as well. Because love, Paul is saying that love in a broad way is God's love, but specifically, you need to love your brother as well. You're not just, oh, be loving, but be loving to each other in brotherly love. I think Paul narrows it down with our verse this morning. And then after our two commands in verse 10, it talks about zeal and keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And I thought about serving the Lord. How is one way that we can serve the Lord? By loving each other, right? By showing our love, by serving others. And so I think that also connects with our verse this morning. Then we have a few more quick commands: to be joyful, to be patient, to be faithful, and to share with God's people. But from this word share, we have that we need to serve and share with God's people who are in need. And this word share is the word fellowship, koinonia, that's in the biblical text. That's what I'm arguing about, that all these love one another type of things, these one another commands are all about, having fellowship with one another. And finally, we have this command at the end to practice hospitality, which is showing love, right? So I think this entire paragraph is talking about love. In fact, I would even argue that it centers around our verses that we're looking at this morning, that Paul is kind of building upon this phrase to love and be devoted to one another, to talk about love and how to show that love to others. Now, if we expand this even further out to the whole chapter that Paul wrote here in chapter 12 of Romans, we see that it also talks about how we are to show love to each other, how to live as a Christian. It talks about using our gifts and abilities to love others in the church, that we have all been given different aspects, different spiritual gifts, we call them, that we need to do our part to serve others, whether that be prophesying or serving or teaching or encouraging or providing for each other's needs or for leading or for showing mercy. All these different gifts that God has given come before this paragraph here that we read. And following this paragraph, they're commanded to bless those who curse us. Bless and not curse. We're told to sympathize with one another and to live in harmony with one another. Now, we looked at live in harmony with one another a couple weeks ago, right? We talked about how that and how, even in that sermon, that we talked about how we're to love those enemies even and to feed those who hurt us. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. This is in the same context of our verse this morning. And of course, Romans chapter 12 ends with that famous verse that I love. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so this entire chapter can be summed up, or at the very least be pointed right to our command here, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. To love lovingly everyone who comes along, whether they be a friendly Christian or brother in Christ, and using our giftedness to help build each other up, or someone that we need to overcome evil with good. Those who hate us, we can do good to them. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone, God says, needs to be treated as if they're a dearest member of our family. That's what this entire chapter is all about. How to show love even to those who are not lovable. How to show love even to our enemies. And this is not easy, folks. I wish I could sit up here and say, oh, I do this all the time. I always love people. But just like last week was grumbling, we all find ourselves not living up to that, right? I can't do that all the time. I find myself grumbling. I find myself not being loving all the time. I just can't. At times we say to ourselves, I just can't show brotherly love to this person or that person. I can't be devoted to someone because they hurt me or said things about me that really hurt me. I don't have the strength or the drive to show brotherly love, let alone agape love, right? But this is the command that Paul says we need to strive for. Just be devoted to everyone in brotherly love. Treat everyone, not just as a brother, but as a family member. Not just as a person that you know, but very important. Why is Paul giving this hard command to us? Why do we need to love everyone? And the answer I came up with was, well, because Jesus loves them. They might not seem lovable to us, but Jesus still loves them. Jesus still died for them. Those people who hurt us, those people that cause us harm. And maybe most importantly, it's because if they see love in you, they will understand more about God's love, right? When they see us loving them and they're hurtful to us, and yet we still love them, that's showing them God's love, isn't it? It's showing how much God loves them, how much He wants them to be part of His family. So by being devoted to one another and growing in love might be all they need to see in order to understand who God is and who God wants them to be. How much He loves them. So let's strive. Do our best to be devoted to one another in love. Now again, that could have been a sermon all itself, but there's another command at the end there. It's in the same verse. Means something similar, but it's to honor one another above yourselves. Now, I love how Paul puts these qualifiers on these commands, you know? He could just say, love one another, or be devoted to one another, and leave it there. But he said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here he says, honor one another above yourselves. Now, it would have been hard enough to honor one another if he would just give us that command. But he says, above yourselves, because we can honor when someone, hey, we're equal with them. We honor us and we honor them, and hey, we're good. And he says, hey, honor them above yourselves. That means what? You need to put yourself lower than them, right? Humility. We've talked about this many times in this service this last several years. He says, don't just be devoted to one another, but brotherly love. Don't just honor one another, but honor them above yourselves. I mean, like I said, it's possible to love one another, honor one another, and to lift them up, but to lift them up higher than us, that's a whole new ballgame. Now, just a little context of this verse in the whole book of Romans, chapter 12. But there are a few more verses that I want to point out in this chapter that deal specifically with the honor part of this. Because it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Don't think of yourself so highly. Now this verse will go on to say, talk about all of our gifts that we have, that God has given each one of the gifts, and if you have the gift of this, do that. If you have the gift of discerning, serve. If you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you have the gift of teaching, teach. If you have the let it write all down, but there are like 13 or 14 of them there. If you have this gift, do that gift. Don't think of yourself, so, hey, God called me to serve and I'm going to teach, or God called me to serve and I'm going to do hospitality or whatever. It's just do what God has given you the grace to do. This verse is about humility, not thinking of yourself higher than you ought. It goes on later, And then verse 16 commands us not to be proud in this chapter as well. After this our passage of scripture says, don't be proud of each other, of yourself. Honor means not taking revenge, as we see toward the end of this book of the chapter as well. You see, honor is placing a high value or price on someone. That's what it means. That's the definition. Honor is reverence and respect. It's placing someone on a high regard as if you're going to lower yourself. It reminds me of what Jesus or John said, talking about Jesus. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. Right? Christ must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30. And this word that starts in above yourselves, again, this qualifier, just not honorable, but honor someone above yourselves is actually a unique word to the Bible, used only here in Romans. It's a word, like devoted, that's usually used, but it has two, it's a common word as well. It has pro, which means above or higher or before, and the word hagiroi, which means to lead or to command. To put someone as your leader over you. That someone leads the way instead of you taking the lead. Those who are leading before you. So it brings an image in mind of the book of Esther. Remember how Esther, Haman, the bad guy in the book, wants to be exalted. And the king, he comes to the king one day, and the king says to him, Haman, I want to exalt someone. How should I do that? And Haman thinks, oh, he wants to exalt me. So he says, hey, I'll tell you what, king, this is how you do it. You get a royal robe put on him, you put him on your royal stallion, and you have someone lead the way to the city, say, this is what the king does to those who he wants to honor, right? Of course, in that story, it turns, well, do that to Mordecai, what he tells Haman. He says, okay, Mordecai is going to get him. So Haman is the one that goes to the city, leading the way, and say, hey, this is what honors is. This is who he wants to honor. Like I said, since this is a unique word in this passage, I think it has to do with above yourselves or leading someone else. But again, there's different translations on this, how they translate it. So there's one in the New American Standard that says, give preference to one another in honor. The King James Version says, in honor, preferring one another. The second century or 20th century New Testament says, in showing respect, set an example of deference to one another. That's kind of interesting as well. Then we have in the New Living Translation, take delight in honoring each other. I like that. Take delight in showing other people honor. And then finally, we have, as far as honor is concerned, let each one esteem the other more highly than himself. So there's all these translations of how to show honor. In fact, I must have missed one there. So I have in my notes here, the Godspeed translation says, be eager to show one another honor. Have eagerness. So showing honor is just showing others that you treat them more highly than yourselves. That means, again, humility. Humility. Something that is throughout Paul's letter. He saw it in Philippians several months ago. We see it in Ephesians chapter 4, how we are to show others honor and be humble in ourselves. Again, Ephesians 4 is also one of those passages, just like here in Romans 12, that has the different gifts of the Spirit in it. How we are to humble ourselves when we think of our spiritual gifts. He talks about it in Colossians as well. And it's like, hey, what's honor in the Old Testament as well? And I saw several proverbs that talk about how to honor other people and to be humble in yourself. Humbleness is so important if you want God to bless you. How are we to honor one another? How are we to show people that they're above us, that they're better, they're not better than us, but that we show them honor? How do we lift them up? Again, I think it's mainly by taking ourselves and humbling ourselves and saying, hey, you are to be respected, you are to be treated as honor. So are we doing this with others? Are we trying to find ways to lift people up? To raise them up instead of trying to tear them down? That's our normal tendency, right? We try to get higher than them, so we try to tear them down. Even in the political world, are we lifting up our presidents, even though we might not agree with his policies? Do we lift them up as an honor? Do we put him above our needs? Do we honor our neighbor next to us? Do we put his needs in front of our needs or her needs? You see, honor is something that people may not deserve, but it's one command that we're asked of God to do. Now, they might not deserve honor, but Paul doesn't say, hey, only those who deserve honor should be honored, right? That's not what this verse says. It says, honor them above yourselves. That's something we're asked to do by God. hard to do. Again, just like to be devoted to one another. It's hard to do sometimes because we think, well, sometimes I don't deserve honor. But God says, hey, raise them up. And more importantly, humble yourself in the sight of God so that he can see you. It takes a humble heart to the willingness to put others in a more important spot than us. To put ourselves in a lesser spot. And like this verse points out, honor is not just something about lifting others up, but lifting them up above yourselves. It's placing them above you. It's saying, okay, you are worthy to be listened to be followed, to be understood. Because God wants us to be humble and to allow us to understand who he is. So Paul has these two commands, again, right next to each other in Romans chapter 12, in verse 10. And they kind of interplay with each other because we're going to love each other in brotherly love and to honor one another. It's kind of two sides of one coin. Loving and honoring. But like I said, they're two very difficult things to put in place, to follow. But again, I think of all the difference it would make in this church and in the churches around us and the world around us if we would obey those commands. If we would show love to one another, if we would show honor to one another, how would the world change around us? It would affect everything. It would affect our friends and our family and our church and our neighborhood and our community and then around the world. How can we do this? How can we honor? How can we show one another love? Well, I think it's because of what God has put in our hearts, right? God has shown us his love. He's shown us his forgiveness. He's shown us honor. When we were sinners, Christ showed us honor by dying for us, by humbling himself to the point of death, even death on the cross, we read in Philippians chapter 2. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what God did for us. He showed us love and devotion. He showed us honor. So we should do that to others, right? We're going to conclude this morning with singing about the steadfast love and how important God's love is for us. But it's not just for us to take it. Oh, God, love me. He says, I love you because I want you to show that love to others. I want you to show that honor to one another. I want you to show that devotion that I have shown you. So important. Because if we don't do that, who will? If we don't show love to others, will we see it in the world? No, we see nothing but hate and bigotry and pride and lifting themselves up. In fact, I think it was this week when I looked up. It was a negative part of love. In 1 Timothy, he talks about in the end days, people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and greed and all these things. And one of the things is not loving, which is the same word for love there. Not loving others. That's how the world is around us. We are called to be different because we have been made